Hey, we're up. How you doing, Barker?
Quick turnaround there.
What?
One show out. One show in.
Yeah.
Quick.
Just a little time to rub down the workstation. Keep the COVID monster at bay. Still doing it.
The what?
Still doing it.
You are.
Yeah. You know, you get to a certain age and you worry about these things.
Huh.
It is Blair and Barker for a Wednesday. Have you ever, as a position player, pitched in a game?
I think you have. Louisville, Kentucky, AAA, Rick Sweet made me do it. It's the only time I've ever been mad at him. I didn't talk to him for like three games. He made me pitch. He made me do it. Like, he forced me to physically say, get out there and pitch. I wanted no part of it.
How did he do it?
He just walked over to me and said, I'm not throwing one of my prospects. Guess who's up? And I was looking around like, who is up? Because, you know, our relationship is pretty, it was good enough that I could, you know, give him the finger or do whatever it is I needed to do, and it didn't work. I still had to go out and do it. And
see, I think
didn't
that's
go
a,
very well
I think that's a sign of respect,
no,
and trust, and love.
That's a lie.
It is? Oh.
No, that's managers not caring about you.
don't care
if you get hurt. That's what that is. He was my friend, but when it came down to him keeping his job, if I got hurt, he would keep it.
Yeah.
If a prospect got hurt, he's losing his job. So he picked on me.
How many pitches did he throw? Do you remember?
Too many.
Like, was it a long
run? I don't remember. Yeah, it was. And I can't remember the name. Because you asked me this last night, and I made a signs I thought it was that
somebody dropped a bunt.
But bases loaded, too.
Oof.
Bases loaded.
And they must have been up. And they must have been up
left-handed.
Big already, right?
No. It was close.
Well, did you?
It's like the 15th or 16th inning. It was
okay. Well, that's different.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Hold it. Yeah, it is. It's not like last night's game where it's a blowout.
Oh.
It's 10-1.
Where a team's got the best offense in baseball and punted in the eighth inning down 9 runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quality.
Oh, this is
that's
different.
That's great stuff.
So this is, see, now I look at Rick Sweet. Rick Sweet's going, I need somebody who's going to man up and do this for me.
Yeah.
And win that important game.
Oh, absolutely. Triple A. We need those 82 wins in AAA.
Anyhow, so
it
was Ray Sanchez, we think.
Ray Ordonez. I think
they dropped the bunt.
With the bases loaded. And I just remember, I remember this to the day. I'll remember it until I die. It was an easy out with a bunt. Like, I could have made that play so easy. Yeah. I was so mad that I just totally forgot about the baseball and was running, like walking towards him, yelling and screaming. And how could you do that to me? That's not what I was saying, but I was fired up. So, yeah, it's terrible memories. I hated doing it.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is
because I was trying to get somebody out, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was letting it eat. Like, I was perfect form and picked the leg up at the right time and pushed down the mountain. All the things that great pitchers are doing.
Did it hurt your arm?
I couldn't walk
for your arm at all?
No, I couldn't walk for a week. Back hurt forever.
Really?
Yeah.
It's different.
I still blame Sweetie for not getting. I don't think I got called up that year. I blame him for that outing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course, the reason we're talking about it is last night the Jays beat the Rays 20-1, and they actually beat the Rays pitchers 10-1. They scored 10 runs off of Luke Raley and Christian Betancourt, who were pressed into the game. Vladdy hit a grand slam without wearing any protective equipment on his
hand. Batting gloves
or his elbow or batting gloves. Which, I mean, basically treating it like a softball game.
Yes, it is.
A joke. 27 hits for the Jays, 11 off of Raley and Betancourt tonight. What was my first question to you last night in Blue Jays talk? My first question was, okay, can any of this carry over to the next game? You know, the feel-good factor, et cetera, et cetera.
Shane McClanahan is who's pitching today.
That was
your answer.
That was your answer right
there's
there.
There's your answer.
If you are interested, the Rays are 9-1 in games started by Shane McClanahan.
He's pretty good.
He is pretty good. If he wins today, he'll become the third pitcher in Rays history to begin a season 8-0. He's got 8.05 run support per 9 innings, so they score when he's pitching. And he is pretty good. Now I'm going to say this. If there is a concern for Shane McClanahan, and he mentioned this after his second last start, it is based on balls. He has walked 25 batters so far this year. If I'm not mistaken, did he issue 42 walks last year? I think it wasn't much. It got to be more than 42 walks. I'll find out. But the point is, he talked about after the Yankees game, which was two starts ago, when he gave up 4 earned runs, 5 hits in 4 innings. He was not very happy. He talked about the bases on balls. He's had 4 starts this year where he's walked 4 batters, and including that start against the Yankees, he back-to-back starts with 4 walks. He only had 3 strikeouts against the Yankees in that game as well. Yeah, however, again, and they lost that game 9-8. However, he is, his numbers are still pretty damn good. His ERA is 2.05. Righties are hitting 2.02 off him. Lefties are hitting 2.33 off him.
Yeah, he doesn't face a ton of lefties. But that's still why you have to put lefties
here
in there.
Go. Sorry, let me just jump in. Last year he had 38 walks in the entire season. He's already got 25.
Yeah, it looks to me like he's trying to strike more people out. Glove side hasn't been real good. Not real good. That's not true. He's been really, really good. But the reason why you stack a couple of lefties in there is to make him use both sides of the plate. Make him use all of his pitches. Make him go slider away, which is glove side. Make him go change up away, which is arm side. Make him use fastball to both sides of the plate. He won't do that if you stack 9 righties in there. But if the Jays have a couple of lefties, I'm not even saying the lefties are that good. It's just the fact of forcing him to use both sides of the plate, which might throw him off, which might make him overthrow, which, you know, a lot of the times these really good pitchers don't have all their pitches, right? That's why you stack some lefties and some righties in there against a quality guy like Shane McClanahan, is to make him, force him to use both sides of the plate, force him to use all of his pitches. And sometimes, you know, he'll throw some non-competitive changeups, some non-competitive breaking balls, like that glove side breaking ball fastball. Sometimes when he's wild and walking some people, that's sort of the combination that sort of goes awry and is non-competitive, and big league hitters sort of, you know, will zone up. Hopefully the Jays do that, and hopefully they gain a lot of confidence from the whooping that they gave the Rays last night. They can carry over and, you know, don't swing at his, swing at yours. Give yourself a better chance of hitting a baseball hard. How about that?
6:40 will be the first pitch tonight. Ben Wagner will have the call, and Buck and Matt Devlin on the TV side. This is the Jays lineup for tonight's 2nd of 4 games. You say Kikuchi's on the mound. The lineup is Springer DHing and leading off. Bichette, Guerrero, Chapman, Merrifield, Jansen, Varsho, Clement, Ernie Clement making his first start.
Nice.
Nathan Lucas, and as I mentioned, Yusei Kikuchi.
Poor little Nathan Lucas.
For Nathan Lucas.
Well, he didn't play all the time. Hey, he's getting this guy.
Here's Shane McClanahan.
Well, I mean, you can't feel too sorry for him. You know, you don't want to say he's stealing money, but he's collecting a check, which is kind of nice. And them checks are bigger than when I played. So it's kind of nice, right? The minimum wage is a little higher at the big leagues now than it was a long time ago. So, and Nathan Lucas, don't try and do too much. Look right down the middle. When you get it, don't miss it.
Ernie Clement, of course, 27-year-old journeyman, but he, of course, will be playing. Santiago Espinal would likely have been playing if he was still healthy. And that is the Jays lineup for tonight. We're going to be joined, by the way, at the top of the hour, at 6:00, by Eric Kratz, and
catcher slash pitcher.
And we've managed to dig up. I don't know if Eric Kratz would call it his highlight. He probably wouldn't call it his highlight as a pitcher, but we've managed to dig up a certain pitch that probably live in Kratz infamy. We'll play it for folks.
Nice.
Played for folks at 6:00. We want to talk about that just because
Kratz is a good sport.
I went off on it last night a little bit. And I'm surprised how many people jumped in on social media. I thought it was going to be old man yelling at clouds. You know, I don't like position players being allowed to pitch unless there's a penalty for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like it, period. But if you use a position player to pitch, I think you should lose that position player for the rest of the series. And I think you should lose a pitcher for the next game out of your bullpen. Now, you know, the reason I'm saying that is everybody thinks position players pitching is cute. First of all,
not me.
First of all, you're screwing your fans who paid money to not see Luke Raley pitch.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would suggest that, you know, if Kevin Cash gets a chance to use his A bullpen tonight and wins a game, you know, you might be able to look back at that performance last night and say, well, hang on. He was able to do that because he didn't have to use any of his relievers last night. See, and that's what I'm saying. I don't mind. I don't mind if you allow it, because there may be instances where a team will
guys
do that.
Guys are not available.
And,
yeah.
And you know what? And
I get it.
Last game of a series, maybe you use Luke Raley. You don't care if you lose him for the next game. You don't. You don't care if you lose another pitcher, a pitcher off your roster for the next game. You can make that decision. You can make that judgment. You could say, I could go with Luke Raley tonight. That means he's not available for the rest of the series, and I have to punt one of my bottom four relievers or something. That's fine. I still got my A group ready to go, and we've got a chance to win the next game however it goes. But I don't think you should let managers off the hook that way. I really don't. And
he punted in the eighth inning, down 9 runs with the best offense in baseball.
See, that doesn't even
he punted
again. That
does,
doesn't matter
does
to me.
He
was
to
not.
Me.
He was not going to win that game.
I don't. So
that's not the point. He's not going to win.
The point because it's the eighth inning. It's not the ninth inning.
He's not going to win that game. It makes perfect sense. What he did makes perfect sense. What he did is what I would probably do if the rules allowed it. I'm just saying the rules shouldn't allow you to do it without some penalty being in place.
You would have rolled a position player out in the eighth inning down 9 runs.
As long as the rules allow me? Sure, absolutely.
You would have done that.
Hell yeah.
Ninth inning, maybe.
Hell yeah. No, I would absolutely. I would absolutely roll it out. I would have no qualms about that. Again, if the rules allowed
me. Very rare you see it happening in the eighth inning.
I think it happens more often than...
In the eighth inning?
I think Tampa's done it before in the eighth inning. I think Tampa's
done
it before in the
eighth
inning.
A habit of doing it.
I don't know. It's Tampa. Who the hell knows? They've got somebody down in the bottom of the stadium who's
it's obvious.
Just broken down the spin rate on Luke Raley. But anyhow, and we'll talk to Kratzy about that.
And I know that Kevin said he needed a changeup after the game.
Every year, you know, people talk about, baseball talks about, well, we need to look at it. And to me, it's just silly. You want to speed up games.
It's the optics of it. You're the quote, the best team in baseball.
It doesn't matter.
It does. It
doesn't matter if you're
the optics of
Kevin,
it.
Kevin, does it matter if you're the Kansas City Royals? No.
Well, you could buy it a little bit more than you could the first place team with the best offense in baseball.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
It doesn't matter.
That's silly. That's a silly comment. Come on. Absolutely
Your
it does.
Silly.
Oh, absolutely it does.
So
they're the best team in baseball.
We should put
and
a
they're
rule,
punting in the eighth inning,
so we should
throwing
a
position
player. We should
player.
Put a rule in place that doesn't allow teams of the record above 500 to do it.
Well, it's a little easier to handle if it's Kansas City or Oakland. Yeah, because it's Oakland. But it's the best team in baseball? Absolutely. In the eighth inning. In the American League East?
With all due respect, that's nonsense. If you're allowed to do it, you do it. The whole point is...
Well, I didn't say that.
The whole point is you shouldn't be allowed to do it.
I said it looks silly for the first place team. I didn't say that. That's not what I said. I said they're the best team in baseball with the best offense in baseball. That's what I said. I didn't say because you couldn't do it or you could do it. That's They do things that not everybody else will do. That's why it's very odd to see a guy in the eighth inning doing it.
Well, you know what? You can do that, frankly, also when you've got it, when you got 10,000 fans in the stands.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you really can.
Maybe. They'd have two guys from Toronto yelling and screaming about it.
People yell and scream about it as well.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not a good look. That's all.
Yeah.
At least for me, anyway.
Yeah. I just have a problem.
And it's very hard to hit off of. To be honest with you.
Okay.
I know it didn't look like it.
That's what I wanted. That's where I wanted to go
like
with.
It, but
that's where I wanted to go with next. How many positions have you? You must have faced.
Absolutely. A lot. Ton. So in minor leagues, nobody cares about the minor leagues, right?
Okay. Well,
I don't think I've ever done it in the big leagues, though.
All right.
But the minor leagues, though.
What do you do?
You do exactly what Vladdy did. Exactly what Vladdy did. Vladdy felt like a horse's behind because he punched out on 40 because he's up there trying to hit that thing to the moon. That's all he's trying. That's all you try and do. A power hitter, that's all they do when they face. It's like you're sitting over there and you want to go softball on it. And then you strike out, and then you're sitting over there going, well, I'll treat it just like I'm playing softball game. What's he do? He takes all that stuff off his arm. He doesn't wear any batting gloves. He goes up. He looks up on a baseball. He even seen Danny Jansen take a ball middle away, because he can't drive that. And then he gets one down the middle, he hits a homer. Like, I guess if there's anything you could take away from that is, if you have an approach, even against the Shane McClanahans of the world, gives you a better chance because that's who you are. I'm not going to change anything because this dude's throwing 35 miles an hour.
It's very hard. Yeah, but I was going to say,
not an easy at bat.
I would think it would be easier to identify the pitch. Does that make a difference?
Not really, because there is no pitch. It's a slow thing.
Fair enough.
You know, there's not a ton of dudes that actually try and pitch like me in a 15th inning of a Triple-A game, and I'm out there trying to throw as hard as I can. And I'm actually calling breaking ball. Calling a breaking ball. I'm shaking the dude off like, no. Move over that way. It's like nobody really does that a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's more of you ephus it or you throw the knuckleball. Which
Kratzy threw.
Yeah. And when you're hitting off of it, the only thing you're thinking on the on-deck circle is, I hope I don't look like I don't belong in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. That's because everybody thinks that you should always hit a home run off that. And then you don't, and you look like Vladdy did in his first at-bat. And then you're over there thinking he probably changed bats. I didn't see that, but I bet he did. Changed bats, changed batting gloves, took all that stuff off. Like, it's you don't want to be embarrassed. And sometimes it's basically how they make you look.
The 20 runs were the most scored by any team in the majors this season, and they tied for the fourth most in team history. And the Jays, if you're interested, last night hit 519, 27 for 52, which is the highest batting average in a single game in team history. More to the point, the Jays snapped a five-game losing streak and actually managed to beat an AL East opponent.
I hate to say this,
the second time in 12 games. And by the way, George Springer came within.
I was about to say that
he came within a double
what
of the cycle.
Miss? Oh, he missed it. Though.
And of course, he missed it because of double.
I was going to say
George Springer's hunt for doubles continues.
I think I'm wrong, it's very hard for me to admit this because I've been saying, how do you turn this lineup around? And I've been yelling and screaming about one guy, and that's Vladdy.
Yep.
But boy, when George Springer looks like this, George Springer. Doesn't everything just sort of look like it's falling into place? Like when he's getting hits and running all over the place and diving and doing the little hand thing that he does after he does that?
Well, suddenly,
doesn't it just seem like everything falls in place?
Suddenly, Bo comes up with somebody in base.
Yeah, a lot.
That makes a big difference. When George Springer is going like that, what are you seeing that suggests he's got it going on again?
Well, he's under control. He's getting a good pitch to hit. You can tell he's taking pitches that he shouldn't be swinging at, and now he's getting his pitch to hit, which is a big deal at this level, especially when you're facing guys who throw as hard as they do and can throw as many secondary pitches as they do. I just would like to say, if you want to see the difference, go look at George Springer 3 days ago and look at last night, him hitting the breaking ball. The separation. There is that little click where you can actually visibly see it to where the front foot hits the ground. There's a separation between the front foot and the hands, and then he drives down and through the baseball. There's that little separation. Every great hitter has it. Oh, they all have it. It's like everything just sort of falls in place to where you're balanced. You can rotate. You can drive down and through the baseball. Your eyes direct the barrel to where it needs to go. The only way you can do that is have that little separation. All you have to do, you don't need to be a guy that breaks down swings like I try and do all the time to go look at George Springer 3 days ago and look at him last night. You can visibly see the little separation. If he continues to have that, he will lay off the close one to get the one that's middle away, a little thigh high, to be able to drive that ball to right center to the signs where he's supposed to be driving him to. So, yeah, that's for me real simple. It just seems... their lineup looks totally different. Their at-bats look different. The people hitting behind George look different when George is on base and hitting the baseball hard. Doesn't it? Or is it just something I overthink?
No,
it really does.
There's a reason you like having him in the leadoff spot. I mean, there really is. He's gone 18 for 49 now with a double, a triple, three home runs, 8 RBI, and 7 walks in his last 12 contests. He's got an OPS of 1.059, yeah. And it's actually it's a good thing because
as we kind of expected. You know, you look at some other guys in this lineup. Matt Chapman's kind of come down to earth.
Sure.
In May.
What's he, career 250 hitter? He'll be somewhere around that at the end of the season.
260 at the
end
of the
season. He's had enough at-bats in the big leagues. That's basically who he is. He's just trying to strike out less. If he can do that, he'll hit more homers. He hits more homers, he'll get paid more money. Yeah. That's the point, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. This is something I know people will be talking about, and I know you kind of dismissed it by saying Shane McClanahan. Is there, when you have a game like last night, where you are, yes, you are feasting off, you know, position players, is there a feel-good factor going into the next game? Does it feel as if, you know, we all like to see results, right? We all like to see that we've done something good. And if you're a Blue Jays player and you get up this morning, I don't know if anybody checks box scores anymore. I don't think they do. Mm. But you look at your numbers from last night, mm-hmm. just about everybody...
Yeah,
you know, just about everybody has a reason. They've got a reason to feel good.
Think Vladdy should feel better. He hasn't hit a home run in a while, and finally hit one off a dude throwing 40 miles an hour. That's what you got to ask yourself. Like, is it? And now all of a sudden he's going to turn his season around and start hitting a bunch of home runs. Maybe he will. Maybe it's enough to just the confidence wise that will give him to, you know, that he'll go up and hopefully start hitting some baseballs harder when it matters the most. I just know this, whenever you're seeing guys that can't locate, that's position players, and then you face a guy who throws as hard as Shane does, who has a arm speed and the mile per hour difference in the fastball and the changeup that Shane does with late movement to it and can throw the slider away to a lefty and can throw the big giant breaking ball to righties and lefties, and can go elevated with two strikes with 96 to 99, which, if you've noticed, the Blue Jays don't like him.
No, they don't.
They
like
do not. So, I don't want to downplay what they did last night, and I'm sure it's better going 3-for-5 than it is 0-for-5. Okay? Nobody, you know, wants to walk away from the park facing a position player a couple of times and not getting a hit. That would probably make it worse, which luckily nobody did. I think everybody got a hit, which is a big deal. But then there's the reality of you're on the bus or in the taxi on the way home and you're thinking, man, that was nice. Who's pitching tomorrow? Huh. Well, the fun's over.
Jose Berríos last night, 7 innings of one hit ball, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. In his last 4 starts, he's got an ERA of 2.81. That's 8 earned runs over 25 2/3 innings. Not a lot of whiff last night. I think 6 whiffs.
Yeah.
Out of 42 swings, but 18 called strikes, 8 in the sinker, 9 in the slurve.
Yep.
Can we say he's turned a corner now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt in your mind.
Absolutely. First inning will tell you everything you need to know. The second and third, Ramirez is up. He pitched around him intentionally. I make the perfect pitcher. I walk him because Taylor Wallace is standing on the on-deck circle. I think because of my fastball commands better, I have a lot of confidence in the mechanical changes I make. I have no windup anymore. Now, he wouldn't need it with the bases loaded or second and third, but he has none of that. It's repeatable. I can have the same release point over and over again, which allows me to be better with location of multiple pitches. So if Taylor Walls don't like the elevated fastball, guess where I'm going to throw it with 2 strikes? That's where it's going. So he has confidence enough to do that. And Danny Jansen's been really good. It's like a security blanket. Hey, let's be honest. That's the 6th time he's caught Jose. Like, he just looks better. Like, it's get it and go, get it and go, get it and go. There's not a ton of shaking off. There's not a ton of shaking off with location, right? You can basically tell a guy with your eyes, I need you to move over a little bit without actually shaking him over there. Rarely you see that with Danny, right? So right. That little communication back and forth has been huge for them. First inning was big time. The sinker is really good. That's one of the pitches that's been hammered for him. The slurve has gotten better because the sinker is good.
And
fastball command is huge.
And you know,
the four-seamer could get better.
You noticed last night he was throwing his slurve slower.
Which he's trying to get called strikes with that, right? That's the thing is, I want to get that. I want to steal a strike with that. I don't think if I throw it slower because now I can get it to go where I want it to go, that they probably won't swing at it. They're probably not looking for that. They're a very aggressive team early in counts. If I can slow that pitch down, steal a strike with it, then my sinker will be better, then my elevated four-seamer will be better, and then my changeup will be great because now I can locate it arm side. I can throw it in to a lefty and have it run a little bit, look like that two-seamer that he likes to throw, right? That way, because of the mile-per-hour difference, he can get away with it if he throws it down the middle. So he's got multiple locations he can go to it with. He's oozing confidence. You can just see when he gets a big out. Like, he's just releasing it all. Like, here it is. This is who I am now. You're going to get it every time I go out there. I'm buying in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he faces good teams like the Rays, he's going to have to make really good pitches. And he'll have some hiccups against some good lineups, especially if they run out six or seven lefties like they had six of those. That means the changeup has to be great. When it's not, it could probably look a little different. But if the sinker command gets better and the slurve is okay, that makes the changeup great. He gets better with the four-seamer. Yeah, you like what he's cooking, right? And if you can get Alek Manoah going and be a little bit more consistent, it ain't your starting pitching.
No, his next start, by the way, is Sunday in Minnesota against his former team.
That should be fun.
Yeah. Just looking at his performance last night, you talked about the strikeout of Walls. He gives up a two-out hit to Mejia, picks him off, and then a 10-pitch third, a 12-pitch fourth, gives up the home run to Paredes, but he gets out of that inning unscathed, gets a double play. It really was. They have, even with Alek Manoah's struggles, I think they've pitched well enough. And if you ask me to sort of take a look, what's their record now? We're 49 games. Tonight's their 50th game of the year. 50 games into the season. What is a thing you can hang your hat on if you're a Blue Jays fan? Yep. I said this yesterday. I think the rotation. We're at the point now where all, in air quotes, they have to do is get Manoah figured out. Because Kikuchi's going to give you what your number five guy is supposed to give you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can manage
Don't throw it down the middle.
No, you can manage that if the dude in front of him is giving you seven innings.
You know the difference between Yusei and Jose for me is now this year they can pitch to a hitter's weakness because of the mechanical changes. Yusei is more fluid, right? I pick it up. There's not a start and a stop. It's very hard now to have the same release point and have the ball go where I want it to. Jose's eliminated the windup. Now I can repeat that. I can throw it to a hitter's weakness. If he don't like he ball up, I throw the ball up. Now it's just not me trying to get that thing to break as much so he swings over it. Now he's pitching to weaknesses. He can throw in. He can shrink the strike zone for a hitter. Yeah, I like it.
416-413-3959 is our back leg line. Again, we're on until 6:30 tonight. We'll be on until 7. Once the Rays series is over on at 6:30 until 6:30, because first pitch is at 6:40 tonight. So we're going to do our back leg line in the next segment. That's your chance to ask Kevin questions, maybe leave comments. It's the only interactive pregame show you're going to find. So if you want to talk about tonight's game, you want to look back at last night's game, or you want to talk about bigger picture issues, perhaps you've got some comments, some feelings on position players pitching. We'll deal with that. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Eric Kratz will join us in the top of the hour. We've got a lot to talk to Eric about. Take a look around Major League Baseball. And something that I mean, I'm not saying this to make Jays fans feel upset, but have you looked around lately and seen how many big payroll teams are getting performances from dudes they've called up from the minors? The Mets, three guys up from the minors, they've made a difference. The Dodgers, they're giving a dude his major league debut. The Dodgers, they got more money than, than Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have Ohtani next year. They're giving a rookie pitcher his debut. The Rays, last night, they got a guy. Taj Bradley started out the year in the minors. And I think an emerging story here is the fact that the Jays don't have anybody they can call up and help them win a game.
Tiedemann's hurt, so yeah. That's a fact.
They don't.
Nope.
I mean, you're looking at, God love Ernie Clement. I hope he goes four for four tonight.
I'm rooting for him.
But Ernie Clement is, frankly, a journeyman.
Sure.
Nathan Lucas, journeyman.
Yep.
And that is, I think, a
I don't know what to make of it yet. I'm sure the Jays will tell you, well, Jeff, we traded Moreno, our top prospect, to Arizona in the Varsho deal, and that is true. But, yeah, I mean, we keep talking about organizational depth, and every spring I keep hearing how good the organizational depth is. You know, to me, Drew Hutchinson is an organizational depth.
He's a body. Yeah.
So it's something we'll talk to Eric about that as well, because it is a trend. It is noticeable. Teams are bringing up young guys, and they're contributing. And the Jays are bringing up Bernie Clement.
That's not his fault.
And keeping Kevin Biggio around. You know it was going there. 416-413-3959. Nice. I am nice. 416-413-3959. We'll go to the back leg line in a minute. Eric Kratz as well. We'll get you set for the Jays and Rays. 6:40 first pitch tonight. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 416-413-3959, the back leg line. We'll get to it in a few minutes. We are your interactive pregame show.
We are.
And we are an interactive postgame show.
Absolutely.
Which we will be
We're
tonight.
All over it.
We are indeed. Did you see Aaron Judge's home run last night off of Felix Bautista?
I did see it.
What pitch was that?
It was an 0-2 split finger.
What went through your mind?
The very first thing, you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
The very first time, because of who I've talked to and the people that I interact with have seen video and have noticed things. The very first time, I thought he knew what was coming. And then I did a little digging that I found out Felix Bautista throws a split finger 0-2 77% of the time, which an educated guess person, if you're the best hitter in baseball. Now, I want to say that, too, right out the gate here.
Yeah. Isn't that?
He and Yordan Alvarez are the two best hitters for me in baseball, and they're above – this is me. Everybody has their own opinion. It's those two guys and then, like, the Freemans, the Trouts, the Betts, whoever you want to put down here, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, those two are up way up here. So, if you go back and look at the pitches, it was 101 away that he takes for strike one. Huh? The fastball that was 100 on the black end, 3 days late on that thing. Like, he wasn't even he had no chance of hitting it. If I'm the pitcher and I'm the catcher and I see that, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm throwing a split finger here. I know I throw it 77% of the time. I know I throw it. He was 7 days late on an 0-1 fastball middle in. Why would I not throw that again away? I'm going to take my chances of throwing my best fastball a little middle away, and then maybe if I miss with it, maybe I throw my split finger after that. Now, it was an atrocious split finger, and if I'm the hitter, now I'm not Judge, obviously, and nobody else is in baseball because he is the best hitter in baseball. Did he look like he was fooled on the split finger? Or did he look like he had a really good idea that thing was coming? Look, just knowing by what I just said, the fastball away at 101, late, 3 days late on the 100, there's no way he stepped out thinking to himself, I'm getting a split finger right here. I know he throws it 77% of the time because we're the Yankees and we know everything. I know that.
But I have just looked miserable.
I was late. I know what he knows. He knows what I know. Most hitters would be selling out because you were so late on the heater before that. Selling out to get the heater. And then when you did get the bad split finger, because it was center cut, middle, like that's what you do with them. But not after you're so late on the fastball in that normally you have to cheat to get to that because of the way you look before.
So
that you'd be out and around the split finger, you'd pull that foul because your lower half would be all out of whack. You wouldn't hit that thing to the moon. Now, I ain't saying, but you asked me what I was thinking the first time I saw that, and that's exactly what I was thinking. But I will say he's the best hitter in baseball. We can put that to bed now. And I'm going to give you a couple stats.
Well, hang on now.
I want to give you stats before I move on here. He's got 8 home runs with 2 strikes. That's the most in baseball.
Helps to know what's coming.
He's slugging .552 with 2 strikes.
Helps to know
what's
coming.
That's the best in
baseball.
Doesn't
it help to know what's coming?
That's the best in baseball.
Doesn't it help to know what's coming?
Well, I'm not saying he did know it was coming. I'm sure he made an educated guess, and he knew the same thing that I knew, that 77% of the time that Batista throws the split finger 0-2. Now, it was an atrocious split finger, and I'm sure if it was a better one, he'd have probably punched him out.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter was, because of the way he looked on the pitch before that.
Do you think the third base coach?
No, you asked me what I thought.
Yeah, well.
What I was thinking when I saw it.
Right.
I'm not saying he was doing it, but I'm saying that's what I was thinking, is how do you look that way on a hundo in and then not look for a hundo the next pitch because you looked that way on the pitch before that, and then you hit the split finger as far as you did, and you look like with your lower half that you knew it was coming. That's what I was thinking. I'm not saying that's what he did and he knew it was coming, but I'm saying he looked that way.
There you go. So you're not saying were doing something.
I'm not saying that.
You're not saying that the third base coach was too far out of the box or anything like that.
Well, it wouldn't have been the third base coach because he was in the batter's
base.
It would have been the first base
coach. Okay, you're not saying that, but you are saying that. Otherwise, you wouldn't bring it up.
You asked me what I was thinking when I saw it.
The Yankees are cheaters.
That's what I saw.
The Yankees are cheating dogs. Just
say it. No, it's not cheating.
I know it's not cheating.
I'm jealous because if he was doing it, a dude that throws, it's like when you, because, you know, he was caught here doing it. And to be able to peek, get it, and hit it to the moon, human beings aren't supposed to be able to do that. And he's the best hitter on planet Earth right now.
He
breathes a different air than everybody else does.
He's certainly on a roll.
He is something else.
He carried it over in Cincinnati. And
it's crazy.
I can tell you that I know, and I'm not going to say who, but I can tell you that I know that folks with the Jays and folks with the Orioles exchanged info. Nobody's obviously going to give away what they know. At this point,
you know what's happening. Do you care now? Make a better pitch.
No.
Don't throw an 0-2 split finger down the middle.
Make a better pitch. No, that's not the point. The point is you've got to correct it on your own.
Well, the only way you're going to do that is to square him up. You think anybody on either one of them teams is going to square him up? Yeah. That's the only way you're going to fix
that. No, you're getting this wrong. What I'm saying is if you know what they're doing and you know what they have in you, then correct it.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it's on every single pitcher. It's just not one specific thing that they're getting from one pitcher. It's little things from every single one of them. You can't, like, I don't want to say you can't fix it, but it's a lot to ask. It is a lot to ask. Give the Yankees credit. Give the only dude that seems to be able to do it and hit the ball to the moon. He's not cheating.
So you're saying the Yankees are out cacifying people.
Oh. I you asked me what I thought when you faced the dude that's throwing 101 and you were late on it.
And your timing is perfect. It looked
just smooth and easy, like, boy, it was Sunday morning and I'm just out there flipping in the air.
Now, let me ask you this. Is that any different? We made a big deal about the Jay Jackson thing, who was pitching when Judge was caught peeking. And my point was, he threw him 6 sliders.
Yeah.
He's Jay Jackson.
And the
guess 6th what I'm
one was
get.
Really, really bad.
Well, guess what I'm going
to
get.
So was the 0-2 split finger.
Anyhow.
To him. I just thought
this
it was
is different. This is different because Felix Bautista ain't Jay Jack. This
no.
is different.
He's and that's seen the first home run he's given up all year on the split finger.
Huh?
And they're hitting like 140 off that split finger. Now, that was an atrocious pitch. It's bad.
Still.
But you asked me what I was thinking.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line.
I should stop thinking it. Is what you're trying to tell me.
Well, I should stop thinking it. If you're going to plant the seed of doubt and sprinkle water on it, don't dig it up before it gets a chance to
grow.
He's
been called fish iron.
Well, anyway. Like, Jim in Hamilton.
Jim.
He visited the back leg line.
Thanks, Jim.
Good golly, Miss Molly. Jim from Hamilton. What the hell is Schneider doing to the lineup? I don't care what the stats say on a piece of paper. You get these guys out of Kiermaier sitting? I'm sorry. I don't care if it's a lefty up on the mound. This is bloody ridiculous. Schneider, what the? Have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But, Jim, you know better. Jim was working hard to come up with the radio thing, too.
That was all right. I like that.
I'm going to say this right now. They had this planned out 3 months ago.
Of course they did.
Yeah, Kevin Kiermaier's played five games in a row. This is his second game he's played at the Trop.
Yeah.
They had this planned out already. This has nothing to do with John Schneider. Jim, you're smart. You've called into this show before. You listen a lot. And you know we're the first we're the first show to tell it like it is. But, Jim, you come on now. Like, you know, it's an obvious thing. You know, it will make it sound like it's an easy time to give him a day off because of who's standing on the mound. That, for me, has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm also going to say this, too, is it is a long run of games on turf.
Absolutely.
For Kiermaier. Now, he's played a ton of games on turf in his career.
I mean, they're hoping to get 125 games
exactly,
out of it.
But that's not the point. You've come off a big homestand. You've been there. I don't have any problem necessarily with giving him a night off against
the Jim's
tough lefty.
Blaming John, and this is not John. John's not sitting over there going, you know what, we've stunk for the last week and a half. Why would I not put my best lineup in here?
If I'm going to give a dude a day off, because I do want to have this guy around, if I want to give the dude a day off, today's the perfect day to do it. Yeah, it is. I can't. This
high performance.
I can't criticize anybody this time.
I can't.
You know what?
In the past, he's had a real issue of staying on the field.
I'm willing to bet in the good old days, a manager might have done the same thing.
No.
Lots of games on turf.
You've been lefty. Your team's been stinking. You're going to put your best lineup out there as many times you can put it out there. You know better. You've been around old managers.
I've got. And I know guys who. I know I've seen guys do this.
It would be the lefty on lefty thing. It wouldn't be because of turf.
It would not be because of turf.
It would be because the dude on the stand on the hill it throws 100.
No.
Up.
No. Turf enters into it as well with these guys. You've got a guy who's got a hip.
It's more that.
You've got a guy who's had hip injuries, Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to take.
Well, I'm with you.
You're going to give him.
I'm not saying it's not true, but you're telling me that a manager 15 years ago.
They would have.
Their team's not been real good not scoring runs.
Kevin.
Well, they would have Jeff Blair coming on the radio what are you doing?
I spent 10 years covering a team that played in artificial turf. Trust me.
Huh.
Felipe Alou used to give dudes off because they had a lot of games in artificial
turf. Because they played 5 days in a row.
I'm just telling you.
5 days in a row. Because he's played 5 days in a row. Anyhow. To Jim's point.
Whatever.
Well,
we know why he's not playing. I don't have a problem with this.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't either. Let's go to Andrew in Omaha, Nebraska.
Andrew.
I was just calling about the position players played by the Rays. And, you know, we can debate the rules and what things should be and, you know, getting behind in the bullpen and all of that. But really, the time to make a decision is right now, and I think it's a time to look outside the box. There's nothing preventing the Blue Jays from putting in their own position players to stay in the bullpen game for the whole series and just play the game out that way and try to maintain that lead. They can always go back to the bullpen if they need to, but there's nothing preventing them from playing and responding in a similar way that the Rays did. Just to sort of keep up with that bullpen game for the rest of the series. Thanks so much, guys.
Andrew, I have to respectfully disagree. You know what was preventing them from doing that? A five-game losing streak and 10 losses
Absolutely.
In the last 11 days against the AL East. Nothing's come easy for this team. The old saying, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah,
but that's a gift horse, and you're not looking in the mouth there. You're playing that straight.
You're trying to win it.
You do not want to get cute. And I keep getting back to this. One of the other issues with using position players to pitches, there is an injury risk. You're asking guys to do stuff that they're not used to doing. And I'm not a fan of that. So I get where you're going. But, you know, respectfully, if I'm John Schneider, I need a win in the worst way. And I got it in the worst way, to be honest. I can't afford to be cute.
Yeah, Tim Mays pitched the eighth inning. They were up by 9 runs. Adam Simber hasn't pitched in forever. He was pitching no matter what the score
was. Yes, he was.
So that's my point.
Yeah.
Is Tim Mays was up, ready to go, because of where they're at in the order and what the score was and who they didn't want to pitch.
Correct.
So that's why.
And you made that point the other day as well with was it the Friday game where Felix Bautista came in, even though the Orioles had a good lead? And your point was, look, you've already had him up.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to waste him. He's up. Use him.
You've talked to those older managers who don't want to do it. Well, no, John Gibbons was famous for that.
I'll tell you what.
You know, love him about that. People in the bullpen love that, right? If you got me up, you're throwing me.
That's what I...
You're not getting me up, sitting me down, getting me up, sitting me down, because that's... Basically, you're using bullets in the bullpen, and they don't like that.
No, that was... whatever John Gibbons' weaknesses or issues were as a manager, you talk to guys in that...
Yeah.
Well, I told you the B.J. Ryan story. B.J. Ryan told me that his first full year in Toronto, he said, it's the best I've been handled by a manager by far. He said, I had one occasion where I got up and threw and wasn't in the game, and he said, and I didn't even think anything of it. And this is, I remember him telling me this at the end of the year. He said, I it was a game in May, and I didn't think anything of it because, you know, it happened in Baltimore when I was there. And he said, I walked past Gibbons' office. Gibbons called me in and said, sorry about that. It won't happen again.
That's big league.
And he said, it's the first time I've had, and it didn't.
Yep.
I mean, that's, and yeah, you've got your pitching coach and the coach is helping you. You know, make your mind up there. I mean, the one thing Gibby never did, he never forgot how many trips to the mound had already been made in the inning. Then he didn't have 16 different voices in the dugout telling him what to do. A
couple khakis over there, too.
Yeah, a couple of interpreters and khakis. You got lots of stuff.
Boy, you're just
there.
Not going to let that go, are you?
I'm not going to let
over
it go.
Over-khakified.
There you go.
That's great.
But anyhow, there you go.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It's about winning. Boy, can you imagine the heat
that
John Snyder would have just been lambasted if he would have ran Nathan Lucas out there in the eighth inning?
Yeah.
Instead of Tim Mesa. Can you imagine? Even in the ninth inning. Holy. I mean, I guess if you'd – look, you seem to think it's okay for Tampa to be doing it. I don't, because they have the best record and their offense is the best in baseball, and I don't think there's any right time to do it. But, boy.
It's okay for the Jays to do it.
No. I don't think there's not a good time for anybody to do it, is the point.
Okay. Anyhow, 416-413-3959 is the back league line. We will solicit calls and comments throughout our show.
Those are good calls.
It was, actually.
Yeah.
It was actually the Kiermaier thing. Yeah, I'm honestly not surprised he's not in the lineup. The lineup, by the way, I'll just run through it because it's been a while since we did it. Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Chapman, Merrifield, Jansen, Varsho, Clement, Lucas, Kikuchi, Jansen behind the plate. No Alejandro Kirk in the lineup. Jansen behind the plate and Springer DHing and Dalton Varsho in center field. A little interesting.
Yeah, Danny's hitting. And he catches you, say.
You wouldn't think of having, well, of course, you want Springer's bat. And there's another thing. You're taking Springer off his feet in the outfield.
He's raking, too.
Yeah.
Kirky's earned a right to play. Play.
Nope.
Period. Like, not just hit. Play. Like, right now, he's just, both sides of the ball just doesn't look the way it looked last year. And right now, they have better options. It's about winning. Well, you just mentioned it. You can't mess around late in games and throw the wrong person. Well, you can't just times of trying to let people get their feet wet and figure it out. Those are over when you're in last place.
That is quite a bottom
over.
Of the order. Varsho, Clement, and Lucas.
What?
Got him. Might as well use him.
I mean, why not? Their defense is not going to suffer because of it.
No, it won't. Eric Kratz is a former major league catcher. Now a podcast host, an analyst.
He does it all.
Yeah, he does it all.
Oh, he does.
He does it
pitches.
All. He's friend of the show, friend of the Barkers. He pitched. How many times
a
did
lot.
We say? Seven times?
Seven appearances.
Made seven appearances as a pitcher in the major leagues. We're going to talk to him about position players pitching, the good, the bad, the ugly, the risk. Want to talk about some of the young dudes we're seeing around the game as well. It's Blair and Barker on 590-360 and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Toronto sports fans. The Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pratt is on the mound because, of course, he is. And he deals a strike to Devers. On the scoreboard, 9-1.
A knuckleball there, Coney?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think he's probably going to have to feature a knuckleball. You can see the grip. Oh, yeah, good one, too. That had some action on it.
Oh, my. That is a good one.
Really, Kratz can do it all.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he absolutely can. We have always said that. He is a man for all seasons. He's a man for all positions. He is Eric Kratz. That didn't sound right. He is Eric Kratz, co-host of Foul Territory and former MLB catcher. Kratzy, thanks for joining Barker and myself.
Yeah, no doubt. But let's make sure we say baseball positions.
Yes,
okay?
that's what I meant.
We're keeping it clean above the border, okay?
That's right. We'll keep it up top. We will definitely keep it up top. Thanks for joining us. We've got a ton of stuff we want to talk to you about. But because of what happened last night in the Jays-Rays game, and I've got this thing. I don't like position players pitching. And, I think there should be a penalty for it, et cetera, et cetera. All that aside, though. You've done this in the majors. Now, Barker's done it in the minors. Yeah. He had a horrible experience when someone bunted on him with the bases loaded.
Yeah, I wanted to kill him.
And the difference was Barker pitched in a game because it had gone 15 innings and it was in the minors. So there's a difference between pitching in a game when you've run out of pitchers and the game still matters, or pitching in a game when your team is blowing out. Did you always make it known to your managers that you were ready to pitch? Is it something you seriously liked? Something you did as a kid? Like, how did this come about? Because 7 career innings puts you in an elite company amongst position players.
Elite.
Yeah, and those are the days that I became an above average hitter because I was pitching. So they compared all my hitting to other pitchers. And I became above average, so that's the reason I really liked pitching. No, it was one of those things that, yes, I have, like, lifetime memories of striking out Brandon Belt and Eugenio Suarez and Austin Barnes. But the reason I got put in those situations was because I was the most expendable person.
Yep. Been there.
That simple.
It's his. Absolutely.
It's that simple. It wasn't because I was good at it. I mean, yeah, they wouldn't put somebody out there that was like all hopped up on Red Bull and is like, I'm going to throw a million because you're going to hurt yourself. You know, so the reason they put me out there was I was most expendable. They would be okay. Nobody's losing their job if I get hurt throwing an inning.
Kratzy, knuckleball. Ahead, why knuckleball? Where'd that come from?
I had been throwing that since college. I feel like when catchers, have no arm swing, no arm motion, and you're one like Tommy John throw away every time you throw the ball, it just always felt like something that was A, fun, but I kind of picked it up and I would always throw it, and I would always just, throw it in warm up, I even tried throwing a guy out one time in an extended spring training game with a knuckleball.
How did that go?
It didn't work. I didn't get him. No, it didn't work. It didn't get him. Because when you try to do it at an incredible pace, it slips out. So it didn't work. Let's put it that way.
All kidding aside, though, we had a situation here where Ryan Goins pitched in an extra inning game.
He was trying to get people out.
And he was trying to get people out. The game. It was one of those. I think it was like 19 innings. It was 2-2 or something like that. And they were in a run of a lot of games and a lot of days. And I think it was Canada Day, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of people watching.
A lot of people watching. Ryan Goins came out, and Ryan Goins took it seriously, obviously, because the game was still on the line, and he was shut down for a while because he'd hurt his arm. And Barker told me that when he pitched, his back killed him
for
days as a result of that. What are again, all kidding aside, what are the possible physical effects beyond simply hurting your arm?
I mean, what Barky said about the whole hurting your back. That's what we'd always say, like, oh, this, as soon as a position player throws his first pitch and you see, okay, he's just lobbing it in or he's throwing it, he's throwing it kind of hard. If they're throwing it hard, they're like, you're not going to be able to wipe your butt tomorrow. Like, you're using muscles that you're not used to using. You could throw a ton in the outfield, but when you get off that slope, your body has to use some kind of deceleration. And you're actually getting more momentum going down the hill. That's why guys can throw harder off the mound because you're getting momentum in your body weight, well, something has to stop that. Something has to slow that down. And it's back. It's your legs. It's your – I knew a guy who pitched in the minor leagues, position player, and he went and threw. He's like, I want to throw one hard. He's like, and then I tweaked my hamstring. I'm not telling anybody, but I tweaked my hamstring on that one pitch. I tried to throw hard. Because your leg is out extended, but you have all that momentum, and it's a real danger. Pitching is tough, especially after you're a lifetime pitcher. You have to, like, stand out there in BP every day and watch everyone else hit homers. You get to do nothing fun, and you're really not that athletic. So pitching is tough.
Yeah. Hey, Kratz, you flip it on the other side. You know, obviously not yesterday. The Blue Jays lambasted the two position players. They scored all kinds of runs. And Vladdy, I think, struck out off of one of them. And he came up with no batting gloves and no thing on his arm. And basically treated like softball. But have you ever hit off anybody and actually done well? Because I have. And I have not. Like, I overswing, I ground out, I want to throw my bat in the stands, give my batting gloves away. Like, I want to basically quit because it makes you feel like a not a very good hitter. You ever had success doing it?
I always told – so one of the better seasons that I had, I went 0-7 against position players. And another guy, our 9-hitter – he went 7-7 against position players that year, and he hit 170, and I hit 290. So it was like, you can laugh about it because you're having a good year. If you're struggling and you get a position player pitching, you're like, oh, no, this is not good. But I have to say, the last position player I ever faced was in 2019, and I hit a home run to dead center field off of him, and it hit the batter's eye in center field, and he was throwing – you know, he's throwing like 84, and he tried to throw like a little comeback two-seamer. There's a lefty. Like, he was like legitimately trying to pitch, and I murdered the ball. And I'll never feel like I got more respect from my teammates than when I hit a home run off that position player, because nobody else was hitting them, and they were like, oh, this guy might actually be a pitcher. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? But when they saw me hit the homer, they were like, whoa. How did you do that, especially at 39 years old? So, look, it's good fun.
Nice.
The Jays tonight are sitting Alejandro Kirk, a right-handed hitter, against Shane McClanahan, Danny Jansen starting him. Part of the reason is because George Springer is DHing, and as a result, the DH spot is taken, and Kirky, there's no spot for Kirky tonight. But one of the things John Schneider said about that decision, you know, he's a part of it is we went with Danny because we wanted Danny to help correct some of the issues that were going on with Alek Manoah. He's hitting better than Kirky, but Alejandro Kirk has been Alek Manoah's personal catcher. And he basically said our rotation is kind of out of whack right now with the catchers, but we're going to get it lined up again. And I'm wondering, Eric, is that one of the dangers with having quote unquote personal catchers? You know, is it that big a deal to begin with?
It might be more the pitchers that you got to talk to about a personal catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it something that they're sitting there going, I don't like this guy. Or is it something that gets more blown out of proportion because we play baseball every day and reporters ask, okay, well, it's Manoah's day and he was almost a Cy Young winner and, you know, I think there's good on both sides of it. I really do. Like, I think a personal catcher can get a pitcher in the spot he needs to get in. It doesn't mean that the other catcher can't catch that guy. It doesn't mean hopefully it doesn't mean that the pitcher doesn't like throwing to the other guy. But if that is the case, talk about it. Like, look, dude, like we're here. Pitchers can be on an island themselves, but we're all here to win a World Series. Like, the Blue Jays aren't like, well, let's figure out a way to just, like, do our best this year. No. Everybody on the team wants to win the World Series. No different than DJ, you know, no different than Danny Jansen. I talked to him this offseason. This dude is so locked in. And same thing that Kirk would do back there. He'd try his best for Manoah to try to make those adjustments. But I also know that I don't know Kirk at all, but I've heard about him talking to Schneider some. That he is there for his pitchers. So you know what? This is an opportunity and I don't know anything that's going on in that clubhouse, but it's an opportunity for Kirk to step up and be like, hey, like this is what we worked last year. This is how he's trying to fix it. The issue is, you know, his slider's not finishing where he wants it to. Let's just give him a different look. Maybe it's something on the plate. There's so much to that. But I think the personal catcher thing, the only time I don't like the personal catcher thing is when some dude gets paid $150 million and he's like, oh, you know who I need? I need this guy to come in and catch me. I'd be like, hang on, bro. Like, I'm paying you $150 million. We might put our left fielder back there and he's going to catch.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to throw to whoever. And then if you're really like the pitcher whisperer, if you're like, well, I'm a backup catcher, you know, I do really well with Greg Maddux. Oh, you do? Wow. Mm-hmm. Great job. Like, you're really doing it. How about you go do well with our fifth guy? That's who we need. If you're really the pitcher whisperer, get the most out of our fifth starter who can't go past 4.5 innings.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Maddux, because one of the stories with Greg Maddux, of course, is Javier Lopez was a terrific catcher. And Greg Maddux, I mean, he didn't like pitching to him. Eddie Perez had a long major league career. Eddie Perez was a good – I'm not going to take it away from him. Eddie Perez deserved to have a long major league career. He was a good catcher. But he became Greg Maddux's personal catcher. And now, you know, that became an issue in the playoffs because of the lefty-righty matchups and things like that.
For sure. So it's like, so to me, you just got to make sure you're doing what's best for the team. And I think all the stars line up right now for Schneider to go with Danny. Group of 26 right now, they're not getting it done like they should. And it's Manoah's start day. Like, it is his day. They got to get him right, or this team is going to just get worn out by July.
Kratzy, when you face a position player at the next night, can you take anything away from that? Say you went, you hit a grand slam. Can you take anything away from it, or is it a position player in the next night? I got to face Shane McClanahan.
Vlad's definitely sitting there going, hey, I got to face Shane McClanahan. But you know as well as anybody, Bark, finding, and you hit an absolute fist job that goes 23 feet and out, and it stays fair. Got me a knock because I've been hitting balls hard the whole time. So I don't care if it's against a position player.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's against Shane McClanahan. A knock in the show is a knock in the show.
Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is we had, we've been talking a little bit about how the Jays really don't have a lot of depth right now. There's really nobody in the minors you can bring up and contribute. And, you know, we're looking at teams like the Dodgers. I mean, big market Dodgers, big payroll Dodgers. They bring up a kid, Miller. The Mets brought up a couple of guys from the minor league system, and it kind of seemed to give them a little bit of a boost moving forward. You know, the Mariners have brought up some young guys. Is this something that we may see more of this year? Because it does seem, this is just anecdotally, but Eric, it does seem as if there are teams are bringing up younger players really early this year, not to give them exposure or anything, but, you know, to give them to help them win games.
That's huge. And if you can repeat all the teams that you just talked about, like, they're all wanting to win.
Yes.
And you know what? When you're not winning, you got to fix some stuff. And if there's some dude that's banging in the minor leagues, look at the Cubs. Look at the Cubs. They have Christopher Morel. Christopher Morel on anybody's, you know, list of guys who's going to hit 9 home runs in his first 12 games. But you know what? He was banging in the minor leagues. And the Cubs need a little jolt of offense. They didn't have a spot for him in spring training. He had a choice. Go down there, boo-hoo, woe is me. I hit 15 homers last year in the show. I should be in the big leagues, even though I might not be better than the people that they have up there. He went down there. He didn't do that. He raked. He's now up here. 9 homers in his first 12 games. He's got, like, the longest extra base hit streak for the Cubs. All that stuff is for – all that stuff happens on teams that want to win. And the teams you mentioned, they want to win.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Buck Showalter, not Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Buck Showalter.
I'd rather go to Martinez, to be honest.
Well, I would too. I would too. I mean, just an unbelievable person. But anyway, if you go to Buck Showalter and you say, hey, I want you to put this rookie and this rookie in your lineup, he'd be like, no, I'm good. Like, I got Starling Marte. I got Tommy Pham. Like, I'm good. Okay. Well, we're going to come back to you when those guys struggle, and these are the guys you have. It's a good thing to have. It's a good problem to have minor leaguers who are ready to be able to come up and inject energy. There's something that I heard Michael Young say at one time. Rookies bring energy, and they don't talk. Like, how do you come to the field every day and have energy? The veterans talk, and they take that energy from the rookies. And it's a infectious way of creating a roster and creating hungry guys. Like, rookies just need to have that, like, wide eye. Hey, bro, like, I got this. It's cool, bro. No, you can be cool when you got a 6-year contract. Mm-hmm. You know what you got to be? Hungry. You got to be willing to run through the wall, and then tomorrow you show up before everybody else, and you already got your eye black on. Like, it's time to go. That's what winning teams do, and that's what winning teams call young guys up for.
Kratz, season on the line. You want one guy at the plate. Who you picking? Aaron Judge, Yordan Alvarez. Who you got?
Who's pitching?
Doesn't matter.
Who it does matter.
Lefty or righty. Doesn't matter.
If the guy's got a changeup, I'm going with Yordan.
Ooh.
If the guy doesn't have a changeup, I'm going with Yoji.
Wow.
Either choice. It's gonna be a loud sound. Either choice.
Hey, what was your view of that whole situation with Judge in Toronto and the side eye looking at the looking at the first base coach and you know everything that resulted from that? And of course, my friend Mr. Barker. Now he didn't want to ruffle any feathers, but he did notice last night that Aaron Judge was awfully comfortable in a split finger after looking really bad in a couple of 100-mile-an-hour heaters from Felix Bautista. What was your take on all that?
Well, the stuff in Toronto, I think he just had something in his eye, probably like a contact was loose, and he just wanted to get his contact back in straight. No, man, he was peeking in the
– Absolutely.
Was Somebody was relaying something. Like, are you saying, was it like, I don't think it was anything against the rules. I think it was something that was picked up from the pitcher. If you watch Jay Jackson, you know, where he comes together, you can see it. I've been on more teams than just the Yankees that see that in a pre scouting report meeting. And they see it from the video, and you know what? You use that. Mm-hmm. You use that. And so it wasn't anything against the rules. And I don't think – you know who was really pro about the whole thing? Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They did not – like, if you go back and listen to that, they did not accuse him.
Nope.
They weren't like, oh, this is – they weren't up in arms. They were just like – I mean, it was so epic. He's like, there he did it again. And there goes the ball. It was epic.
Yeah.
It was epic. But the whole splitter last night, come on. Barky, you haven't taken a good swing in a long time.
That's
you could have hit that splitter out.
No chance. Not after being 7 days late on a hundo middle end. No way.
Well, why did Kratzy, throw you know, splitter?
That's a great. Well, because he throws it. Bautista throws it. I thought the same thing, Kratzy. Jeff asked me, what did you think the first time you saw it? And I said, well, the first time I saw it, because of the way he looked on the heater and the second pitch, there's no way he's looking for a split finger. He has to be looking for a fastball. You cheat to the heater, right? You're late on it. There's no way you're looking for a split finger. And then you did, I guess, and hit it to the moon. Obviously, it was a really bad splitter. If he throws a good one, right, he's probably striking him out. But the fact of the matter is, with what we've seen in the past, now every time I see him hit an 0-2 splitter to the moon, it's just second nature for me to think, hey, you must be looking for it. You must know it's coming. It's special stuff.
Or it's a bad pitch. I mean, it's clearly a bad pitch.
But absolutely.
I think even a bad pitch in the right spot, I mean, in a right time, is still a great pitch if you're convicted in it. And it's a good pitch. But maybe because of how late, you're exactly right. He was, you said 7 days late?
Yeah.
I mean, he was 11 months pregnant, lady late. Like, he was late, late. And to me, all that shows me, when I watch that swing, I go, oh, no, he's sitting on a split. He was sitting on a split the pitch before.
Yeah, maybe.
Because maybe he knows he can't hit a hunch up in the zone like 99.9% of everybody in America.
Yeah. Well, you know him, so we'll go with your thought. How's
yeah.
that?
And okay.
We trust you implicitly.
We do.
Kratzy, thanks for
You're
doing
the best,
this, man.
Buddy.
You're the best.
That's
Be well.
Awesome.
Good to talk to you, boys.
Take care.
Eric Kratz is co-host of Foul Territory, former MLB catcher. It is a hoot, Foul Territory.
It is. It's great. It's great.
By the way, we didn't even mention that Eric Kratz, as a pitcher, gave up 2 home runs. One of them was to Danny Jansen.
He gave up 3 homers.
3 home runs. One of them was to Danny Jansen. What was I looking at?
Wait, 2 yeah. homers. You're right.
2 homers.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I apologize. He gave up 3 hits.
Yeah.
There you go.
2 homers. One of them.
2 strikeouts.
One of them to Danny Jansen.
3 strikeouts.
I mean, it was interesting hearing both of you guys, position players, talk about hitting against position players.
Yeah.
And because I hadn't, I mean, I'd thought about it, but yeah, it, you know, you're doing it in front of, well, in Tampa, there was probably only about 5,000 people left by the time.
I didn't.
Amar
Lease, there's nobody there. I can remember, Jeff, too. I had to use some knob pitcher's glove because I had a first baseman's glove. That's how bad I felt about that, is I had to borrow a left-handed thrower's glove because I only had a first baseman's glove. So, yeah, I was not happy
you
about it.
You didn't have... I thought you
not
played.
A chance.
No, you
I played
play
first.
The, oh, I thought you. I'm sorry.
No,
I thought you played the
only Gibby
only
put
Gibby
me in the outfield.
In the outfield.
Oh yeah. You ever played outfield? Nope. Well, you're playing right today in Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
Yeah, stay hot. It's true. It was awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we now know that Aaron Judge is
sitting on split finger. So, dude's throwing.
Possible.
The batters are hitting 140 off that thing. Nobody can hit it, and you're looking for it. Okay.
You are Aaron Judge, or as he called him, Yudgy.
He is the best hitter in baseball. Like, you can't argue that anymore.
Well, I'm going to kind of pat myself on the back here because when we did our preseason picks on the website and even when we did it, you know, everybody's running around Shohei Ohtani MVP. And I picked Aaron Judge for MVP, and I still maintain Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP. He's not going
to
hit.
Boy, way to go out on
in a 60. Well, you
way
didn't.
To go out
you
on
didn't.
Him.
Way
to
you
go. Because everybody was
you
picking
didn't.
Aaron Judge.
You didn't.
Like, I don't even
you
remember. I don't
you
even remember
you
who
you
I picked.
You could have joined me on the
Trout,
limb.
Trout, I think I picked.
No, that's really.
Yeah.
You could have joined me on the limb, but you didn't. There's plenty.
And I'm sticking with it.
Plenty of room in that limb.
Thanks. 9 homers in like 13 games. I'm sticking to it.
Hang around. 640 is the first pitch. What are they doing on TV? Oh, okay, yeah. 640 is Pine Tar. They're scraping it off, though, the bat. Anyhow, 640 is the first pitch tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Ben Wagner will have the call of the game. Mr. Barker and myself will be around post-game to do Blue Jays talk. And we will be back tomorrow from 5 to 7. Now, we back tomorrow from 5 to 7,
yeah. Yep. Game's
yes.
at 1 o'clock.
That's right. The game is at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So we'll be back from 5 to 7. I think Ben Annis will be doing the post-game show tomorrow after Manoah and Eflin. And we'll be around from 5 to 7 to break it down. And, again, extended the back leg line is 416-413-3959. So you can call up. And I think we may have Thad Levine on tomorrow.
Nice.
Minnesota Twins general
awesome.
Manager. Always look forward to talking
to
that. That's it for us. You got baseball in a few seconds. Have a great night.